I welcome you this Sunday, July 12th, 2020. Our scripture this week and our message comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 23, the parable of the sower. Starting in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and he sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told him many things in parables, saying, "Well, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. But still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Oh, he who has ears, let him hear." Well, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. So this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts in turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and he snatches away what has sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke it out and making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So there's a story going around about two women who stopped at a service station on the coast of Texas, and they asked where the lighthouses were located. Well, the service station attendant, he was a little confused, and he asked if there was any particular reason they were looking for lighthouses. Well, one of them says, "We understand lighthouses have good paying jobs, and there are lots of ads in the paper for them, but we don't know where they are located so we can apply." Well, the service station attendant, he said, "As far as I know, there are no lighthouses in Texas." "Let me see that newspaper," he said. Well, sure enough, there were ads which read, "Light housekeeping needed. Apply in person." Well, I know that's bad, but when you write a newspaper ad, you might consider that all kinds of people will be reading it, and therefore all kinds of misunderstandings could take place. So while I was reflecting on what I read in our scripture today, and what we hear in the news about defunding police and cancel culture, it seems everyone is getting a different message. So I thought maybe we should just talk about communication. Well, I looked it up in a definition in the dictionary. And here's what I found. It had four definitions. First was the act or process of communicating. Well, that's helpful. The fact of being communicated. Wasn't real helpful either, now was it? Number two was the imparting or interchange of thoughts, opinions, or information by speech, writing, or signs. And then it says something imparted, interchanged, or transmitted. And the fourth one I found was a document or a message imparting news, views, information, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, communication is a wonderful thing, but it's also tricky. I know every pastor is aware that what he or she says can be misunderstood. But with that said, the act of communication has at least three critical elements in it. The sender, the message, and the person who receives the message. I say at least three elements, because there may be more factors involved in a successful communication. For example, the relationship between the sender and the receiver. Like some married couples can finish one another's sentences. And I know this because Bonnie and I often do, although she's better at mind reading than I am. And communication can also be affected by whether the sender and the receiver share the same experiences. So as an example of this, I was talking to a friend of mine. He said he took his family to one of those restaurants where the walls are plastered with movie memorabilia. He went to see the hostess about reserving a table. And then when he returned, he found his 11-year-old daughter staring at a poster of Superman standing in a phone booth. And she looked awful puzzled. Well, doesn't she know who Superman is? He kind of whispered to his wife. Worse than that, she replied. She doesn't know what a phone booth is. Well, communication between generations, it can suffer because of a lack of shared experiences. But there are many factors that can affect whether an act of communication is successful or not. Here Jesus was talking about a particular act of communication. The act of communication was his teaching about the kingdom of God. Some people are exposed to Christ's teaching and they only half listen. So the message really doesn't take. Like the seeds that fell along the path in verse 4. It is as if a bird had devoured it before they had a chance to process it. And there are others who seem to listen to Jesus, but really they are indifferent or even hostile. The message never really has a chance. So they're the rocky places. You know, verse 5 tells us the seed fell on the rocky places. And there are still others who are interested. But they are burdened with other concerns, and soon those other concerns choke out the message of the kingdom, and they are no better off than the others. He tells us this in verse 6 and 7. But then there are some who Christ calls good soil. These are the people who hear, who respond, and who live out the kingdom life the best they are able with God's help. So I hope most of you count yourselves as good soil. You hear the message of the kingdom, you respond eagerly to its call, and you live out the kingdom life the best you are able with God's help. But you have to wonder, though, where Christ is leading with this parable. No wonder his disciples were confused and they asked for clarification. He's saying that some people will respond to the gospel and others will not. But what are we supposed to do with this information? Perhaps he was preparing his disciples for a kind of response that they would receive when they began to communicate the gospel. So I think the first thing he's telling the disciples and us is that communication of the gospel of Christ is an important part of being a follower of Christ. And we know that's true. We are not only good soil, But once the gospel is sown in our lives, we are to join with Christ in sowing the seeds of the kingdom in the lives of others as well. So Jesus told us to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We find this in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Well, this is a great commission. It is the task of every follower of Jesus. We are to communicate the gospel. Well, this takes many forms. For example, we communicate the faith to our children. That is probably the area most of us take most seriously. Through our gifts to the church, we also spread the gospel to the world. But we know Christ calls us to do more. So through our actions, Christ calls us to spread the gospel to our friends and neighbors and co-workers. But more than that, Christ calls us to give a verbal witness to the people around us. And this can be a scary proposition. So having been raised and lived in this area, like most of you, we can relate to Jesus' parable of the sower. We all have at some times attempted to plant a garden or help the farmer plant. And most of the farmers I assisted like to pass on their wisdom. So in my preparation for today's message, I saw a long list of wise sayings attributed to farmers. So let me just list a few of these wise sayings for you, and maybe you'll relate to one of them. Keep skunks and bankers and lawyers at a distance. Or maybe forgive your enemies, it messes with their heads. Don't corner something that you know is meaner than you. Or life is simpler when you plow around the stumps. So when you wallow with pigs, expect to get dirty. Or, and this little bit, last bit of advice, always drink upstream from the herd. Well, Jesus told lots of stories about farmer. And today's text was one of those stories. However, a farmer in this story is not particularly gifted at his profession. So let's communicate the gospel in clear terms. So here's the really scary part. Sometimes we can be the reason the message doesn't get through. We said there are at least three elements to an act of communication: the sender, the receiver, and the message. But there is also the medium by which the message is conveyed. In this case, the medium is us. And the medium is the message. That's disturbing when we are the medium by which the message is communicated. Have you ever said something that you really didn't intend to say? Well, even advertisers, they goof at times. Here's just a few examples I found. It's like for sale ads here. It said, for sale, antique desk suitable for a lady with thick legs and large drawers. Or how about the earring special? Have your ears pierced and get an extra pair to take home. Here was one for illiteracy. It says, illiterate? Question mark. It says, write today for free help. Or how about laundry service? That put, we never tear your clothing or machinery. We do it carefully by hand. Or, stop in and visit our new superstore, unequaled in size, unmatched in variety, unrivaled in inconvenience. Or my wife really related to this when she said, it was an ad for a professional mixing bowl set, perfect for the serious cook, with a round bottom for efficient meeting. Or how about auto repairs, free estimates? He wrote, try us once and you'll never go anywhere again. Well, let's communicate the gospel in clear terms. Well, Dick Shepherd, he was a very popular British pastor. He was famed for his preaching as the Dean of Canterbury. He says that when he was a student at Oxford, he was thinking of entering the ministry, but nearly abandoned the whole idea. And why? Because he saw a bishop lose his temper at a game of tennis. Well, this one event nearly turned him against the idea of ministry as a vocation. Well, bishops are human beings too. And sometimes even bishops lose their tempers. Even the best of people can't be on their guard every moment of every day. But we all know that sometimes the message of Christ doesn't get through. Just because a person is entrusted with conveying it. Remember, we communicate the gospel in our behavior. So the best way to share the good news of the gospel is with love. So as most every pastor knows, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. In Jesus' parable, the sower is God. That is why Jesus is not worried about the character of the sender. And in his parable, the sender is perfect. And so is the message. So all the burden is upon the receiver to respond. And that is us. May I say, if you are among those who have provided rocky soil to the gospel message, if you are one of those who have let the cares of this world choke out the message that God is trying to lay on your heart, I hope you understand that ultimately the responsibility is upon you to provide good soil. You are the farmer, the advertiser, the medium. So sooner or later, you are going to have to answer for yourself if the gospel is for you. You and I are not God. Our character and our actions can affect how the message is received. So here is what we must do. We must in all ways communicate to others our love for them. Whether it is communicating our faith to our children or to our friends or to a complete strangers, we must always sow our seed in love. They will forgive us our imperfections if they know we love them. I think of the story that was told of a desperate husband who took his listless and lethargic wife to a counselor and hoped that she would snap out of it. Well, after hours of counsel and encouragement to no avail, the frustrated counselor rose from his chair, grabbed the listless wife, leaned her backward, and laid a forceful kiss smack on her lips. And she snapped right out of it. Well, with pride in his apparent accomplishment, the counselor, he turned and said to the husband, "Now listen, she needs this at least 3 times a week. Well, the stunned husband replied, "I don't know, Doc. I work real long hours, and I doubt that I'll have the time to bring her in more than once a week." Remember, though, the best way to share the good news of the gospel is with love. I believe the best way to sow the seed, to communicate the gospel, is in this way of love. The best type of sower is the person who loves God and who loves others. The light of Christ shines through their lives and they are good soil. They respond to the gospel. Then they share the gospel with others. Like the disciples who came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." So share the gospel through your stories, by your actions, and most of all, do it with love. In his service, this has been Pastor Joel.